How many of us know Jesus and are working on our relationship with him, trying to grow that relationship, trying to get even closer to his word so that the roots of our faith grow even deeper? How many of us know friends, family, kids, grandkids who are far from God? Raise your hand. Just about everybody. How many people do you think drive by this church every day who have absolutely no relationship with Jesus whatsoever? None. Maybe have not even been introduced to him. Because that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about sowing seeds, about making the good news of Jesus Christ known. Here's the thing. Most of us know this parable. It's familiar, the parable of the sower. And Jesus said, a sower went out to sow seed. You'll notice he didn't say a farmer went out. He simply said, a sower went out, which ultimately means for you and I that any one of us can be the sower that goes out to sow seed. And the seed, of course, is the word of God that gets scattered here and there. And some of us are loud and proud in our scattering of seed. Others of us are quiet about it. That we only find out someone has sown an incredible amount of seed, perhaps after they pass. We are called to sow seed. This is the real deal, the real seed, the really, truly, one and only Word of God. There is no synthetic, there is no artificial seed, there's no genetically modified seed that can be sown that will produce more fruit than divine seed, than the Word of God. And for those who take a look at the Word of God and its challenges, watering it down so it might be more palatable for others, doesn't make the seed grow any better. Because in truth, the Word of God, there's nothing that is better than the Word of God. There's nothing that can replace the Word of God. There's nothing that can take the place of the Word of God. Luke tells us in today's reading that a great crowd had gathered, that people had come from all over the place to hear Jesus, to see Jesus. There are scholars who believe that this crowd on that day was the biggest crowd ever to hear Jesus preach and teach. For those that were on the outside looking in, it was impressive. But for Jesus, this crowd, there was nothing that impressed him. Because he knew that many of the people that were there would not hear what it was that he was saying. They wouldn't listen to the words that he had. They wouldn't take the Word of God and make it a part of who they are. They were there simply to see what this Jesus might do next. Who might he heal? What miracle might he do? They didn't want to miss out on any of the show, if you will. You know, Jesus did a lot of teaching and preaching over the course of his ministry. And there wasn't always evidence of a great harvest. Many of you have shared with me, perhaps with Pastor John, Pastor Matt, the frustration that you have, the anger, the worry, the stress that you have, because there are people who are important to you who are far from God. Kids that grew up in the church and now have walked away and haven't bothered to share with their grandkids, with your grandkids, their kids. Sometimes it doesn't seem like there's much of a harvest there either. But it isn't because of the seed that is sown. It isn't because of who sows the seed. It's because of the soil on which the seed falls. And there are many things in this world that affect the quality of the soil. You see, there's a lot of people perhaps even some here today, who really don't want to give up the things of this world, things that they have put their roots deep into, things that they have given their faith and their trust and their hope to, things that ultimately will get them nowhere. But people aren't willing to change. There are many, perhaps some here today, who aren't willing to listen and take the word of the Lord deep into their hearts. They're not willing to set aside themselves and be willing to say, not what I want, Lord, but what you want. There are many, perhaps some here today, who don't want the word submission anywhere close to their everyday vocabulary. I don't know too many people who want to be known as somebody who's submissive. And yet, if we are to really come before the Lord, we become submissive to His will. It's not about what we want. It's about what He wants. It's about us getting out of the way. In the midst of all of that, whether it was nearly 2,000 years ago, the day that Jesus shared this parable, or whether it's here today, September 16th, 2018, Jesus says, let him who has ears to hear, let them listen. So let me ask you, when you hear that, does that seem funny to you? Let him who has ears, let him hear? I mean, how many of you know people with no ears? But the thing is, even though we have ears, sometimes we don't hear. Even though we have ears, sometimes we don't listen very well. But what I've learned about God's word is that we have to work sometimes. We have to focus to hear it. That we have to work to tune out all the other things in the world so that we can hear the word of God. I have a good friend who has kids. And when he and his kids are in a group where there's a lot of noise, he doesn't do this when he's trying to get their attention. He doesn't whistle. He makes one sound. And his kids hear that sound. And they leave what they're doing and they come to him to see what it is that he wants from them. That's what Jesus wants from us, that we would be able, over the din of everything else, to hear his voice. See, sometimes we have to train ourselves. We have to train our appetite for a diet of the things of God, of God's word. We have to concentrate, at least I do, when I'm reading scripture, to make sure that I hear what it is that God is trying to tell me. If we're reading scripture because it's on a to-do list and we read it and check it off, chances are pretty good that we aren't coming to that scripture to hear what it is that the Lord has to say. We're simply reading because we know we're supposed to, and we can cross that off our list and get on with the things of our day. You see, Jesus really and truly is calling us to hear, to obey, to be hearers, to be doers of His word. Hearing the word of God isn't just recognizing, registering the sound of somebody's voice. It's really taking to heart what it is that God is saying to us. My hope for all of us, myself included, is that when we come to Jesus, when we come to the Word, that we come fully awake, that we come ready to listen, that we come willing to do what it is that God has for us to do. Jesus taught a lot in parables, and the disciples oftentimes we're confused, like sometimes we're confused. And after Jesus taught this parable and healed and the people started to meander home, the disciples said to him, okay, we know there's more to this than what you've said. Can you translate for us? Can you explain? exactly what you meant. We want to understand. We heard what you said, but we don't quite understand. And so Jesus explained this parable to them. So many times when we look at this parable, the discussion ends up being the soil, what kind of soil it is. But it's also our hearing. I mean, there's the hard-packed soil, right? There's the rocky soil. There's the soil with the thorns and the weeds. But there's also hearing issues sometimes. There's defenseless hearing. There's shallow hearing. There's distracted hearing. And all of those things, whether we're talking about hearing or whether we're talking about the soil, are things of this world. Things that are enemies, if you will, of a Christian. Things of the world, things of the flesh, things of Satan. All of them oppose the Word of God. So as I read and studied this week, and we were at a conference, and I had maybe not quite as much time to think, but I read this over and over and over, thinking, I can't just talk about the soil again. Everybody's heard about the soil. I started to look at this in a different light, because the Word of God is so vital to who we are and what we do. I was reminded that when Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan was tempting him, what did he use? He used the Word of God, right? And so I started thinking about hearing and doing, about sowing seed, about sharing the Word of God with others. And it came to me, rightly or wrongly, that perhaps hearing and doing, that perhaps sowing the seed of the good news is a part of spiritual warfare. So humor me, hear me out. We know, don't we, that there's a lot of people that have never encountered Jesus. We know that there are people who are far from him. We also know, whether we want to admit it, whether we want to do it or not, that we're called to share the Word of God with others, whether we do it loud, whether we do it quietly. We are called to share. God didn't give us his word so that we can keep it to ourselves and never share it with anybody. He's asked us to sow seed. And I'm not talking about like when you plant a garden. You know, if you've ever planted and you plant squash or pumpkins or corn, and you make a little hole and you put two or three seeds in and you cover it all up nice, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about having a bag, a pouch of seeds that we reach into and we scatter it, knowing full well that not all of that seed is going to fall on soil that's fertile, where it will take root and grow. Jesus knew that too. But he cast seed anyway. He sowed seed wherever he went. In reality, that's our call. To sow seed wherever we go. When we get to verse 12 in today's reading, Jesus starts talking about Satan. And whether you like it or not, whether you want to hear it or not, he's real. And his demons are real. And he crouches at the door. And he waits for an opportunity to come and pry us away from God. Jesus refers to him as a bird, as a flock of birds who pick up the seeds as fast as they're sown. He wants nothing more than to pull us away. That soil that seed fell on, that hard-packed soil, the seed bounced off of. So rigid were people against the Word of God and the things of God. We know here that when we are about to do something that might involve those who don't believe, we know that Satan will rear his ugly head. Whether it's preparations for Christmas Eve or for Easter, whether it's new teaching, we know that if we're taking kids to camp or we're going on retreat, that Satan will attack. And we've learned that the worse the attack, the more powerful God will act that weekend. We know that when we try new things, whether it be teaching, whether it be preaching, whether it be worship styles, whatever it is, we know that Satan tries to use those kinds of things to separate us, to divide us, to spread his lies. He likes to do that. That's his MO. We know that when we plan a spring fling or a fall festival, that he will arrive sometimes before the planning is even done. Why? Because we're trying to sow seed, because we're trying to reach people that don't know yet. That's our call. He works just as hard to pull us away as we work to sow seed, to bring people in. His language is lies. His language is deceit, discord. He loves to sow doubt. That's who he is. That's why knowing the Lord is so important. That's why sowing seed is so important. And the thing is, people who are kind of new to the faith, those are the ones that we really need to surround, that we need to walk with, that we need to pray with, to pray for, that we need to encourage, because Satan is waiting to snatch them away from God. There's a war that's being fought in the soil of every human heart. I guarantee you. And our ears, he who has ears to hear, let them hear, are hearing the word of God and letting it take up residence in our hearts. Our hearts, our ears are the gateway to our heart. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs says. He says, "Guard your hearts above all else, for it is the source of life." In other words, if we don't guard what we've heard, if we don't guard the saving grace of Jesus Christ that's within us, we can't possibly share that with somebody else. We can't possibly continue to grow in who we are as God's beloved sons and daughters if we don't guard what we have. And if we don't guard, that leaves us defenseless to Satan's lies and his deceit. He's crouching. He's waiting. I guarantee you. That's that roadside soil, the hard-packed stuff. If we want to talk about shallow hearing, if we want to talk about rocky soil, Satan is there too. Because that's the kind of soil we haven't quite grasped hold yet of the word. The seed has been sown. It falls in soil that's shallow, that's rocky. And so for a bit, the seed will take root and it will grow. But there isn't enough place for the roots to grow. Our hearts haven't been quite prepared yet. And once challenges come, and they do, and once Satan starts to kind of bombard us, and he does, if we don't have deep roots, everything wilts and dies. If we talk about distracted hearing, if we talk about that soil that's thorny, that has weeds, think about this. That soil that has weeds and thorns has most likely been plowed. Those hearts that are distracted, most likely something has already happened within those hearts. But the thing is, even if you plow soil, there's roots left. And those roots will grow. If our hearts are distracted, if we haven't fully invited Jesus in, the things of this world that cause distractions are still there. I mean, how many of us, either as kids or as parents or grandparents, have come home with this styrofoam cup or maybe a Dixie cup that has about this much dirt in it and seeds, right, that have been carefully planted. And you set it on the windowsill, and there's a vigil to wait to see if the plant grows, right? It takes a while for seeds to germinate. It takes a while for them to send down roots and to grow up. If there's already roots in the soil, if there's already things in our hearts, they have a head start. And those roots of the weeds and the thorns, the things of this world, grow. And they grow faster than new seed. This is where Satan is perhaps the most active. Because he uses all of these things of the world. They're attractive, they're seductive, they're shiny. Things like technology, things like money, things like power, things like beauty or fashion or knowledge. All of those things Satan uses to entice us, to invite us into those things, to try and get us to put our roots down there rather than in the Word of God. That's his MO. That's what he does. You see, the world is constantly producing things for us to join into. But never, never does the world invite us to join into the Word of God. Never. He would much rather pry us away. This prince of the world, Satan, whose dwelling is the world, he would much rather pry us away from God than he would see us grow, produce fruit for the Lord. We're engaged in warfare right now, like it or not. We fight things of the world. We fight things of the flesh. We fight things of the devil. This journey of faith is not for the faint of heart. This is a journey that we take together. This is a journey where we stand with one another, where we pray with one another, we pray for one another. We support one another because Satan is waiting. And because we believe, because we have faith, we're a much bigger prize for him. Those who have really strong faith get attacked often. This parable is about being a hearer and a doer of the word. They go hand in hand. You can't do what God has asked of you if you haven't heard it first. And if you simply hear it and do nothing with it, then you can't be a doer either. We read in James chapter 1, he says this, but be doers of the word and not just simply hearers. So the story is told of a pastor who is teaching that scripture to a group of people. And he has spent a lot of time showing this group of people how to look at scripture and how to see the commands that God has given us and what we're supposed to do with those commands. And as the time of his teaching is winding down, he starts into a review and he asks the question, so what do you do when you see in scripture a command of God? And one person raised their hand and said, I underline it in my Bible in blue ink. But if that's all we do, we maybe haven't even heard, and we certainly are not doers. We're called to share the word, to sow the seed, knowing full well that when we do, some of it will fall on hard hearts, knowing that some of it will fall on deaf ears. But there will be no growth if we don't sow the seed. There will be no fruit produced if the seed never gets sown. We know that it's a challenge. We know that there's different kinds of soil. Sometimes within ourselves, there's different kinds of soil. There are things that I trust God implicitly with. Other things, maybe not so much. That's a place where I need to listen better, where I need to work harder. But if we don't share, if we don't sow, the only one that will be sowing is Satan. Seeds of discord and hate and lies and deceit, doubt, worry. He's good at sowing those seeds. Many of us know that. The stakes are high. Jesus knew that. We do too, like it or not. The question is, are we willing to continue to spend time in the Word? Are we willing to continue to listen and to grow so that our roots of faith go deep? Are we willing? Do we have enough courage to go and to share with others? Are we willing to submit to the Father? Are we willing to say, okay, it's not what I want, it's what you want? Are we willing? And even more so, will we ask for the courage to go, to sow the seeds of God's word so that those who have never heard have a chance to grow in faith, to meet Jesus, to encounter him? Are we willing? Lord God, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. It's hard. We don't always want to be challenged. But you've called us to go, so I pray for courage. I pray that you would open doors and have us be able to listen so clearly that we can walk through those doors and share when you give us those opportunities. I pray, Lord God, for each and every one of us in our journey, in our faith, that you would put a hedge of protection around us, that you would keep Satan at bay, and that we would continue to grow, to put down deep roots of faith, so that we can not only withstand Satan, but so that we can go into this world and sow seed in your name. We love you, God. We give you thanks and praise, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.